Usually when we talk about the future of artificial intelligence, the conversation, it almost immediately jumps to scale.
Right. Yeah. It's always about getting bigger.
Exactly. We picture these massive, like warehouse-sized supercomputers, thousands of humming GPUs, and just unimaginably huge amounts of electricity being shoveled into the furnace just to make the machine, a tiny bit smarter.
It is very much an industrial revolution mindset.
Yeah. The underlying assumption is always, if you want a smarter machine, just build a bigger steam engine.
It is the ultimate brute force approach. And, well, we're seeing the physical limits of that right now.
For sure.
I mean, if a current machine learning model isn't smart enough to solve a problem, the default industry response is to just throw more hardware at it. You add a few billion more parameters, consume more power, and basically just cross your fingers.
But what if that entire approach, the very foundation of how we are building these models right now, what if it is fundamentally flawed?
That is the big question.
Right. What if we are driving this massive gas-guzzling tank and the universe is practically begging us to ride a bicycle instead? So, welcome to today's deep dive. I am so glad you could join us because today we have a really fascinating mission.
We really do.
We are going to decode a dense, mind-bending, and honestly potentially revolutionary set of research notes titled Observer Neural Load.txt.
And we really need to set the stakes right out of the gate for you. Because if the theory detailed in these sources holds up, we are looking at the end of the brute force era of computing.
The absolute end of it.
Yeah, we are on the verge of next generation AI models that could train up to 100 times faster while using exactly half the parameters of current models.
Half the parameters, that's insane.
It is. But to get there, we have to completely abandon standard machine learning paradigms. We have to look toward quantum physics, biological evolution, and a completely new mathematical framework.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can even begin to understand this hyper-efficient future of AI, we really have to understand why today's AI is stuck operating like such a clunky machine.
Right.
According to the text, the core problem lies in the very neurons we use. Current machine learning relies entirely on real-valued numbers.
Yes, the sources refer to these as direct wires.
Direct wires, right. And they point out a massive inefficiency here because these systems have to separate out phase and amplitude calculations and then multiply them entirely independently.
Yeah, and when we use standard real-valued numbers in artificial neural networks, we are basically forcing the computer to take two distinct, grueling steps for every single operation.
Two steps every time.
Exactly. It has to calculate the magnitude or the strength of a signal, which is the amplitude, and then it has to separately calculate the timing or the direction of that signal, which is the phase.
So doing double the work.
Right. It requires two parameters, two calculations, and two entirely separate pathways in the code. Multiply that by a trillion parameters, and it becomes computationally exhausting.
To make this accessible, if you're listening to this and trying to picture the math, imagine trying to perfectly tune a vintage radio.
Oh, I love this analogy.
Yeah. So instead of a modern smooth interface, you have one incredibly clunky dial for the volume, and that is our amplitude. And then you have a completely separate, really stiff, frustrating dial for finding the station, which is the phase.
Right.
If you want to hear the music clearly, you can't just do one smooth motion. You are constantly inefficiently tweaking the volume dial, then reaching over to tweak the tuning dial back and forth, just forever.
And that physical frustration you just described is exactly what the computer is experiencing mathematically.
Right.
And what's fascinating is that nature doesn't do that. Biological evolution and quantum systems are incredibly lazy, but in the best way possible.
Lazy is good in physics.
Yeah, exactly. They optimize for minimal energy expenditure. So the source points out that nature naturally evolved to use complex valued processing, which is represented mathematically by complex numbers.
Oh, yeah.
A complex number, which is usually written as z equals re to the I theta, handles both of those dials simultaneously.
So we want to get rid of the clunky two-dial radio entirely. What is the physical alternative the text suggests we use as a model?
Well, the source introduces this brilliant analogy of the multiplication transformed beam splitter.
A beam splitter, like with lasers.
Yeah, exactly like lasers. In physics, a beam splitter is a device that takes an input, like a laser beam, and in one elegant unified operation, it rotates the phase and amplifies or splits the amplitude.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't do one thing and then pause to do the other. It happens simultaneously. So by switching the engine of artificial intelligence from real numbers to complex numbers, we allow the artificial network to act like that beam splitter.
So it handles the volume and the station tuning in one single twist. which immediately cuts the required parameters right in half. I mean, if you only need one complex parameter to do the job of two real-world parameters, those massive efficiency gains are just baked into the fundamental math from step one.
They really are. It is computationally so much cheaper. We are trading the clumsy direct wires of standard machine learning for the natural unified elegance of complex numbers.
Okay, so complex numbers give us a vastly better engine. We have the beam splitter instead of the clunky dials.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, an engine is completely useless without a chassis.
Very true.
How do we actually build a network out of this new math? Because you can't just plug a new engine into the old tank. The text argues we need a new vehicle entirely, which brings us to the mathematical geometry of something called neural ordinary differential equations, or neural ODs.
Right, and this is a significant conceptual leap, so let's visualize it carefully.
Okay.
We need to imagine a mathematical grid, but instead of a standard graph with an X and Y axis, every single point on this grid is a complex Euler number.
A complex Euler number.
Yeah. In Euler's formula, which beautifully bridges trigonometry and complex exponentials, the math naturally encodes two things at once.
Let's bring back our radio analogy for a second, just to ground this.
Yeah.
If you plot a point on this complex mathematical grid, the text says the real part of the number, the alpha, determines exponential growth or decay.
Yes.
So in terms of our AI, that is deciding how powerful your receiver needs to be. That is the network depth efficiency, right?
Yes, exactly. It dictates how deep or complex the network needs to be to solve the problem at hand.
Got it.
And the other side of that complex number, the imaginary part represented by beta, determines the oscillation frequency.
Which translates to what exactly?
In our AI model, this translates to the learning speed, like how fast are you spinning the dial to find the signal?
Oh, I see.
So every single point on this vast grid is a unique combination of network depth and learning speed, represented dynamically as a complex differential equation.
Wait, here's where it gets really interesting. If every point on this grid is a different differential equation. Aha.
Yeah.
So observation means choose an initial value C for the neural ODE, where all the neural architecture's models exist simultaneously like a matrix quiver plot.
You've hit the absolute crux of the entire theory right there.
Really?
Yeah, that realization completely changes the game. I mean, in standard machine learning, you have to build an architecture layer by layer, block by block, just hoping it ends up being the right shape for the data you want to process.
Right, it's very manual.
But in this complex Euler grid, every possible architecture already exists.
That is just wild to think about. I really want you to visualize this matrix quiver plot, because when this clicked for me, it just blew my mind.
It's a great visual.
Picture this plot like a massive interactive map of global ocean currents. Every possible path the water could take, every swirl, every fast-moving eddy, it all already exists simultaneously on the map.
Right. The currents are already flowing.
Exactly. They're all just natural differential equations waiting there. Observing or choosing that initial value C that the text talks about is just you taking a little wooden boat and choosing one specific coordinate on that ocean map to drop it into.
And think about what happens the moment that boat touches the water.
You don't have to paddle.
Exactly.
You don't have to build the path or pave a road. If you align your phase along a trajectory, the natural differential equation of that specific ocean current just carries you along that evolutionary path.
It's incredible.
The AI model isn't calculating its way blindly through the dark layer by layer. It is literally just writing the math.
It's a profound paradigm shift.
Yeah.
You are no longer stacking static, real-valued layers of code. You're simply defining a starting point in a complex geometric space and allowing the natural topology of that space to dictate the flow of learning.
But I have to push back on this a little bit.
Go ahead.
The source talks heavily about biological evolution, right? And using this ocean map to evolve the next generation of AI.
Mm-hmm.
But biological evolution, as we understand it, is based on random mutations.
True.
A creature mutates randomly, and if it survives the environment, great. So are we just dropping our boat into this ocean of differential equations, letting the AI mutate randomly and hoping it drifts toward a smart path?
Whoa.
Because that sounds just as inefficient as the brute force tank we're trying to escape.
I get why you'd think that, but that is actually a very common misconception, and the text specifically addresses this exact concern.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. According to the framework they use, which is called CCT, or conditional collapse theory, Evolution in this complex mathematical space is not random mutation.
It's not random.
Not at all. It is something highly specific. It's the conditional collapse of a representation space.
Conditional collapse. Okay, that sounds incredibly heavy. How does CCT actually guide the boat through the ocean currents without just drifting randomly?
Think of CCT as an active ecosystem of rules. It optimizes the journey by constantly maximizing entropy reduction over computational cost.
In English.
In simple terms, the system is continually asking itself, what is the absolute cheapest move I can make right now that reduces the most uncertainty?
Oh, that makes sense.
And the source breaks this CCT framework down into four interacting components that basically act as the navigation system.
So it's not just a list, it's an actual mechanism. How do the first pieces fit together?
Well, it starts with the stationary laws. These are the fundamental conservation principles of the system, like the conservation of energy or probability.
So like the boundaries.
Exactly. Think of them as the absolute physical boundaries of our ocean. They constrain the evolution so the system doesn't waste computational energy trying to explore impossible physical realities.
That's smart.
Then, inside those boundaries, you have the probability space. That is the face space itself, the massive complex grid or ocean map we visualized earlier, representing all the mathematically possible trajectories the network could take.
Okay, so we have the borders of the ocean, and we have the map of the currents themselves. But how does it actually steer? Like, what stops the boat from just spinning in circles?
That brings us to the third component, which is the question path. This acts as the selective pressure.
It's a question path.
Yeah. When the system needs to make a decision, the question path serves as the rudder. It determines which complex dimension the system should evolve.
Like deciding between the two dials again.
Exactly. Should it adjust the phase, which mathematically is computationally very cheap, or should it modulate the amplitude, which requires a lot more work?
Which naturally brings in the fourth component, right? The work or energy.
Yes, spot on. The work represents the actual computational cost of maintaining those complex representations or phase coherence.
And it wants to keep that low.
Always.
Yeah.
The system is always, always trying to minimize this cost. So the question path is constantly steering the boat toward the currents that require the least work.
It's literally steering towards the path of least resistance.
Exactly.
What's fascinating here is that by navigating this complex space, we are completely changing the underlying math of how an AI searches for an answer.
We really are.
The text highlights that standard machine learning searches an exponential parameter space. That means every single time you add a layer to a normal AI, the number of possibilities multiplies exponentially, creating an impossibly huge haystack to search through.
It's unmanageable.
But this CCT system navigates a polynomial complex space. It doesn't aimlessly search the haystack. It feels the pull of the current and rides it to the optimal complex trajectory.
It completely flips the search process. Think of the difference between blindly digging a million different holes in a field, hoping to strike water, versus just stepping back, looking at the topography of the land, and watching where the rainwater naturally pools.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
The complex math does the heavy lifting for you.
So what does this all mean for us? I mean, theory is fantastic. I love talking about matrix quiver plots and ocean currents. But what does the actual machine look like when we build it?
That's the big question.
Why does this matter to you and the technology you will be using in, say, 5 years? Because the source actually provides incredibly detailed specifications for what they call the complex CCT transformer.
And let me tell you, the performance predictions for this transformer are staggering.
Yeah, let's get into the specs.
Let's look at the architecture first. In this next-gen model, the attention mechanism, which is how an AI decides what parts of a prompt or an image are important, is entirely complex valued.
Meaning what, practically?
It represents the phase relationships between different tokens of data.
Mm.
And memory isn't just a static stored number in a database anymore. It is stored as complex amplitudes.
Meaning it captures both the strength of the memory and the timing of it simultaneously.
Right.
Because it is using that beam splitter logic we talked about earlier, doing two things at once. And the text says this transformer uses 50% fewer parameters for the exact same accuracy.
Half the size?
Imagine taking the largest, most expensive AI model today, cutting its size and server cost entirely in half without losing a single drop of intelligence.
But the physical size is really just the beginning. It is remarkably faster.
Faster how? Like training time?
Yes. The source indicates that training this model is 10 to 100 times faster than current models.
100 times. Wow.
Yeah. Standard real number math converges on an answer incredibly slowly. But biological systems and this complex AI learn via phase locking, which snaps into place much quicker.
Right.
The text also notes that a process called neat-style complexification helps find optimal solutions 10 times faster than current evolutionary algorithms.
Let's clarify that for a second. Neat style complexification. Basically, instead of building a massive bloated brain from the start and hoping it works, neat starts with a tiny, simple brain.
Right, from the ground up.
And it only adds new neural connections or new dimensions exactly where and when they are needed to solve a specific problem. It grows organically, like a plant growing toward the light, rather than being manufactured in a factory.
That is a great way to describe it. It only spends energy where it absolutely has to.
The speed and efficiency are incredible, but for me, honestly, the most mind-blowing practical application of this complex CCT transformer is how it handles new, unexpected data.
Yes, the phase invariance.
Exactly. The text mentions it has phase invariance.
And this is a crucial point for the future of AI reliability. Current AI models are notoriously rigid.
Very rigid.
If you train a standard AI to recognize a picture of cat, it learns the specific pixel arrangement of that image. If you then show it a picture of that exact same cat, but rotated completely upside down, the standard AI often fails
It
completely.
has no idea what it's looking at.
Exactly, because it just memorized the real value pattern of the pixels. It didn't actually understand the concept of a cat.
But the complex CCT transformer possesses phase invariance
Yes.
because it processes information dynamically through the phase relationships between features rather than static pixels. It easily recognizes objects, sequences, or periodic patterns, even under rotation or massive timing shifts.
Right, because the relationship between the cat's ears and its eyes doesn't change just because the picture is upside down.
Which leads to what the text calls vastly superior out-of-distribution performance and zero-shot adaptation.
That's the holy grail of AI right now.
It really is, meaning the AI can correctly identify and handle a problem it has literally never seen before with zero prior training on that specific variation.
Yeah.
You don't have to retrain the entire model every time the real world throws a slight curveball at it.
If we connect this to the bigger picture of where technology is heading, well, we are witnessing a fundamental paradigm shift.
We really are.
We are moving away from treating artificial intelligence as a giant static calculator. We are no longer going to build massive grids of direct wires and force them to do billions of clunky, disconnected math problems.
We are moving toward dynamic biological-like systems.
Right.
And, this is perhaps the most profound takeaway for the entire text for me. In this new framework, the model no longer just solves a differential equation.
Right.
The model is the differential equation.
It becomes a living mathematical process.
It's alive in the math. So, to recap this incredible journey we've been on today, we started by identifying the massive inefficiency of basic real-value multiplication in current AI. That was our clunky, frustrating vintage radio.
Right, the direct wires.
And we solved that bottleneck by adopting the elegant single-step beam splitter logic of complex numbers.
From there, we mapped out an infinite ocean of possibilities in a matrix quiver plot, where every potential AI model already exists as a complex Euler point.
And instead of blindly mutating and hoping for the best, we used the conditional collapse theory, that ecosystem of rules we called CCT, to gracefully navigate those currents.
Steering the boat.
Exactly. We used the rudder of the question path to optimize for entropy reduction, steering toward the lowest energy cost, to evolve what could be the fastest, most biologically plausible AI ever theorized. The complex CCT transformer.
It really is amazing. And this raises an important question to leave you with.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If every possible neural architecture, every possible variation of intelligence already exists perfectly simultaneously in this mathematical matrix quiver plot,
Right.
and our only role is simply selecting an initial starting value to drop our boat into the water and observe it, are we actually inventing artificial intelligence, or are we simply discovering an intelligence that was already perfectly encoded into the mathematics of the universe all along?
Man, that is absolutely something to chew on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and we will see you next time.